Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come. What do you want to see from Mitchell Trubisky tonight?
I just want the guy to stay healthy.
Seven-man box. Play fake to the pocket. Step ball. Face mask. Pressure and down he goes. Sacked down the play by Geno Atkins.
If he could complete a few passes, I think everybody would be delighted.
Snap is back. They're going to rush just four. Clean. Throwing near side. Oh. Kevin White had his hands out at the 36. Put him in a first down. Did not hang on.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Question.
Snap is back. Andy Dalton play fake. Gonna throw to the near side. Undershot his man and it's picked off running down the sideline.
What kind of bear is best?
Kyle Fuller to the 15, to the 10. 5. End zone. Touchdown.
Boss, Black Bear.
Touchdown Bears. Fuller on it. Takes it to the house. Bengals get the win over the Bears. 30-27.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. We have some football.
Football.
It's football season. We got season. A football game.
How about that? How come he feels different today than it did last Friday morning after the first one in Canton?
Because they didn't play anybody. And then this game, you know, you got the bitter reality of a gulp. There's the first team offense, gulp.
Most of
There's
them.
There's the first team defense.
Most of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No Allen Robinson, no Taylor Gabriel, no Jordan Howard. It's going to be a lot different when those guys are out there.
Okay.
It's going to be a totally different team.
Okay.
Everything's going to work out better.
You keep telling yourself that then.
I'm not telling myself anything. You know what it is? It is a starting point.
Yeah.
Let the evaluation begin.
Exactly.
And we start with that.
Good morning, Molly. Happy
Good morning,
Friday.
David. How are you?
We made it to Friday. I'm doing well.
I suspect that we might.
But we
I am delighted.
Had a game to watch last night. I actually enjoyed watching that, as odd as that may sound. But I did enjoy watching the Bears backups kind of figure it out. Watching the defense.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, they were trying to figure it out.
You watched them figure it out?
Well, you sort of.
Really? I didn't think they figured
I wasn't
it out.
Impressed with the first team offense. They, you know, I would have liked to have seen them play more. I understand why they didn't. A bit of a, you know, not it was less than satisfying watching the Bears offense last night.
They're bad.
Expected more?
Really?
I know it's August 9th. Would have liked to see them play another series.
Yeah, we'll get into that. It's the first preseason game, even though it's the second preseason game, because the first preseason game, you're going to have five of them. Let's just get to the regular season. Let's hold off some judgments. They threw that deep pass that made the big difference. That was a whole new reality.
Was that a statement?
No.
Was that a statement pass?
No. Listen.
Kevin White had a drop.
I don't know what he could have done that would make me be like, oh, Kevin White. But instead, I'm Kevin White. Ugh.
Well, I think
I say it with agony in my voice.
You just wanted him to see something that was just a normal
Just catch the
catch.
Damn ball.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just answered your own question. That's all he had to do just for a
catch
start.
Catch the damn ball.
You set the bar very low. Just catch the ball. We would have been
Don't let it bounce off your hands.
Based on how this game played out, would have been the best thing of the night, cuz I don't want to hear about Kyle Fuller. Okay, I told David Haw played defensive back at a high level at college football. Okay, I could have caught that ball if I was standing there. I mean, the wide receiver.
Do you want to hear about Leonard Floyd?
He got hot breath. He got hot. So Andy Dalton could smell what he had for lunch.
They rushed the pass. Are you kidding me?
Once.
He made a play. Yeah. You know what? That's one more play than the defense
made.
That's
why the wide receiver fell down.
Two touchdowns allowed.
The wide receiver fell down because
But you know what?
The wide receiver is stopping and coming back for the ball because it was thrown too fast.
Well, then alert the media covering that game that they should have written Leonard Floyd, and not that the highlight, the best part of the game was Fuller's return of the ball was nice, but the fact that he caught the ball, big deal.
Still got to catch it. Still got to return it.
He's standing there.
Hey,
guy fell down.
He did one better than a professional wide receiver taken with the 7th overall pick. He caught the ball.
I think Kyle Fuller can use that as confidence and build off that. That was not a play to complain about. I think Leonard Floyd rushed the passer, intercepted the ball. The first team defense had a few moments. They had a few moments that stood out for
the fact
the
is,
wrong reasons.
Here's the thing, right? We're coming out of that game, and everybody's feeling really good about Ryan Nall and Adam Shaheen. That's about the highlights of this team. You know what shouldn't feel good about? Is you had back-to-back plays in the corner of the end zone with blown coverages and wide-open receivers, and you couldn't make it. You couldn't get the ball there. Now, I mean, the receivers couldn't make a spectacular catch, but it would have taken a spectacular catch. But your third-string quarterback couldn't get the ball to on the one, the guy standing by himself in the corner of the end zone. I don't care. I'm just saying. Ryan Nall had 3 first downs in that game, including a 69-yard run.
Right.
That's a nice start for him.
Productive.
Congratulations.
Yeah, undrafted free agent at Oregon State.
3 catches for Adam Shaheen. Guess what? I said before the first game I wanted to see Adam Shaheen. I finally saw him.
You saw what they saw in him.
Well, I don't know that I saw what they saw in him. I saw him make a play against the second team defense, and obviously there's a depth issue going on with Cincinnati.
He did something athletic. He got yards after the catch. He looked the part.
Geno Atkins wasn't on the field to bull rush your backup guard. Let's hope he's a backup guard. Let's hope James Daniels can do better than
Chase
that.
Chase Daniel needs some work.
Yeah. Chase Daniel has got no hope. He doesn't need work. He needs, skill, career. He's got no hope.
I thought I'd see a little bit more from the Bears' backup quarterbacks in the first two games than I thought, given that
they know the system and
they know the system.
They know everything that's happening.
This is an offensive coach.
Look, now he's going to run the 2-minute drill himself. He doesn't even need to play because he's the coach on the field.
I have not been impressed by the Bears' depth at quarterback.
I haven't been overwhelmed by their depth, period.
Well, you're the one who said they had great depth because they had a lot of B-minus players.
I didn't say they had great depth. I said that they had no frontline talent, I believe, if you go back.
All right. I'll have to go back and listen to the tape.
You're the one with the B-minus. You're the one running around with the grades.
I thought you said they were B-minus talent.
You are the one that came up with B-minus.
Did I come up with that?
That's your thing.
Okay.
I'm not Mr. Grade. Oh, I thought that was a D play, David. But, you know, they had a C-plus on the other play. And, gosh, give it A to...
I just felt like if I'm Matt Nagy and I'm watching my first team offense and I want something tangible to build on and I want some sort of evidence of progress, that I probably would have put them back out for a series because I didn't see it.
Well, I don't know. The quarterback got shoved to the ground one time. Your guard got bull rushed and the quarterback got sacked another time.
Fearing injury then?
And then he started moving forward in the pocket. And his arm got hit from behind.
That was a scary play.
Let me tell you something. That's how quarterbacks get hurt, when you don't sense that it's a guy behind you closing in. I'm sitting there throw the ball, throw the ball. You're in a preseason game, okay?
Did you vocalize that?
I yelled out, throw the ball. Get that kid off the field.
Game.
Get him off the field.
No cheering in the press box.
Get him off
the field
as long as you're going to have a Geno Atkins bull rushing a guy. What was that?
7-man box. Play fake to the pocket. Stepping up against the pressure, and down he goes. Sacked down the play by Geno Atkins.
Well, not good.
Not good. You know what was the one play that did sort of get under your skin a little bit, or mine? Who fakes a punt in the first preseason game? Who runs a fake punt?
I said the same thing to my brother.
I'm like, come on.
I was like, well, no one saw a fake punt coming in a preseason
game. Of course they
game.
Didn't. Yeah. Who does that, and how can you possibly feel good about the
they
success?
They must have seen something on tape.
Of course.
I'm choking. They're not game planning.
Come on. Who fakes a punt? Oh, the Bengals. Okay.
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis.
That was weird.
Still there.
Huber to punt from his 10-yard line to our right. They fake it, direct snap instead. Running left and a big play to the 40, to the 50, to the 40 of the Bears. Josh Woods brings down the up man on that play, and it's Clayton Fledgham out of U of I and a penalty marker afterwards.
Joni Hicks sounded perturbed.
Did he?
I don't know. I'm reading into it.
Yeah.
Like, why did they fake a punt?
You were perturbed.
I was perturbed.
Okay.
I was like, come on. If the Bears would have run a fake punt, I would have been just as perturbed or had the same reaction.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. You know, they're not going to be able to run that during the regular season. No fake punts. You may as well get it out of your system.
It had to be an automatic or something. Mm-hmm. But it was there was a lot to look at. There was a lot to evaluate. But, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
One of those nights.
It was a starting point. Let's call it a starting point, and we'll get into the 5-5. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to get to all your phone calls, but as we said, it is the 5-5 next, and we'll talk about some of the pluses. There were some good things, too. Well, it's preseason football.
Texter's calling us the negative show.
Yeah, well, that's the same guy. He texts in every morning. He's just... He likes to make a negative comment. That's exactly right. He's David Haw. I'm Mike Mulligan. It's Mulligan Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5-5 with Mulligan Haw, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5-5 with Mulligan Haw starts now.
Why didn't the Bears' number one offense play another series after accomplishing nothing?
I believe the answer to that question can be found in the last two words. They accomplished nothing. And what was the point? What would they have gotten accomplished? Were they supposed to wait out the first team defense of Cincinnati? Then they could really get something done. Why didn't they start the second half then if they were going to get something done? It's a first preseason game, even though it's the second one, because you play four of them usually, and they have to play five. It was Mitch's debut. You had two series. That's more than enough to accomplish something. Going 3-and-out was not a great incentive to bring him back for a third one. They brought him back for the second one because they got nothing done on the first one. I get it. Have a feel good. Come out of there but when the kid starts getting knocked down, even if he's just being shoved, and that was a penalty, by the way, kept the drive alive after Kevin Smith. Kevin White's drop didn't count because of the shove, which, again, that's a penalty? Okay. That was nothing. That was ridiculous. But, they're going to protect the quarterback. I saw enough of the Bears' first-team offense to know that they needed to get out of that game, and I didn't feel like they were going to get significantly better after watching the first two drives. And I understand the feel-good, but get back to work. Tell me about how good practice is going, because I can hang my hat on that.
Yeah, I guess practice went well, but the game certainly wasn't evidence of that. I think if you're a coach, you want to have some sort of momentum to take into practice, some sort of positive development happen in game situations against a defense that isn't your own, against non-scrimmage situation. The Bears did not get that. I would like to see one more series. It's not a huge deal. It just was my first reaction, is if you have a quarterback who takes eight snaps. And
what if it got worse in the third?
Well, you don't go into it thinking it's going to get worse. You go into it thinking it's going to get better. I just, it's not a huge thing. I just think if I were running the Bears offense, I would have liked to have left Cincinnati with more positive evidence of progress than they're able to, see and show in eight plays for minus 1 yard. Mitch was 2 of 4 for 4 yards.
Well,
they had a drop that was
big. There was a drop.
And
that would have been 11 yards. He could have been 3 of 5 for 15 yards. That's a lot better, averaging 5 yards a catch than two.
Okay, I'll just finish up. I would like to see more.
The number one offense was pulled because they were out there for their 8 to 10 plays, and they got out of Cincinnati healthy. That's it. You had three skill position guys already out that are first-team starters. Tariq Cohen was your starting running back. He was out there for one play. If Trubisky goes out for a third series, which, by the way, the starting quarterback, you didn't see that around the league much. And I know Trubisky needs development last night. But if he goes out there for a third series, he gets injured in any way, hobbled in any way. We are killing Nagy today, just killing him, pointing out that nobody else is doing this. Like Nagy said last Thursday after the Hall of Fame game, it's just not worth it to throw them out there for the third series. For what? To go deep to Kevin White again? No, I'm with the Bears, and they're thinking, get them out healthy after 8 to 10 plays.
I'm fine with them not going out there for another series, but if you're going to play your every single game with the idea that maybe if you throw somebody out there for another series that there's going to be an injury, then why throw anybody out there ever? I mean, you can get injured on literally any play whatsoever.
And in the regular season, that's a risk you're willing to take.
Exactly.
In the second of five preseason games, it's not.
Even though this is technically the first preseason game, eight snaps for me isn't enough of a sample size to make any legitimate judgment. You'd like to see them out there a little bit more just to show off how great practice actually went that week. But I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. As long as in Denver they get more and you see a little bit more, then fine.
I mean, they couldn't protect Mitchell. That's why. That's why it ended the way they did. Now, again, the old school kind of red ass back in glory. The offensive line should have stayed out there longer. Maybe not Kyle Long, but the rest of them should have played like another. Like all of a sudden, it was the mass exodus of the right. It was the mass exodus of the first team. Air quote offense. Listen, a lot of their receivers weren't available to them. I know they're not showing anything, but that's why I think if he wouldn't have gotten hit the little bit that he got hit, I think we might have seen one more series. I don't know that was a hard set 8 to 10 plays. That's it. They didn't tell us that. They didn't tell us one way or the other. But I think if they could have protected him a little bit better, we may have saw. But what we did see is not good.
That's your first freaking question.
Were you troubled or encouraged by the play of the first-team offense?
I think both.
Defense, I'm sorry.
Defense, yeah. I think both. You saw some nice things. You saw Leonard Floyd get a little pressure. You saw Kyle Fuller, even though the receiver fell down, make a play and do something with the ball once he caught it. Remember, there was a time when Kyle Fuller catching the football as a defensive back was an issue. He caught it. He made a play. You can build off that. So, you know, I think. You know, you saw some troubling things. You saw missed tackles from Timu, from Adrian Amos on a Joe Mixon 24-yard touchdown, you know, catch and run. So it was a typical first, I guess, opportunity to see the starting defense. It's going to be a mixed bag, but I think you probably the positives outweigh the negatives. I like the way Kwiatkowski plays. I just think he's a guy that is going to be part of the mix there. You were without Trevathan, without Amukamara. But I think you probably without Roquan Smith, which no update, no news is not necessarily good news in that front. But I would say you were both probably more encouraged than discouraged.
Yeah, I thought that they made a play, which was nice to see. They did allow two touchdowns, which was not nice to see. And it was really interesting, David. They flat out refused to tackle Joe Mixon. I mean, what the hell was that? Guys are bouncing off him. The secondary really struggled to tackle in that game initially, right? I'm talking about the first unit. Now, again, Prince didn't play, but is that going to make a huge difference if you're relying on your corner to step up and make that tackle? I don't know what you're relying on, but, man, there were some bad angles and there was no tackling, and that was a little bit surprising, but I was encouraged by one thing, which was seeing the Leonard Floyd pressure on the quarterback releasing the ball and getting a pick six. That's a really good football play. And two guys had to do something to make that play happen. And that's what you want to see out of the Bears this year. You want to see a pass rush. You want to see a disruptor at up front. And then you want to see a guy taking advantage of it in the back. Yeah, the guy fell down. He fell down because he wasn't ready for that ball to be released, and he tried to put the brakes on because the ball was thrown quickly because, guess what, the quarterback was under pressure. So that's a good thing to see. That was encouraging from the first team. But, again, they lost the game 2-1 if we're just judging what they did in that particular little glimpse, the tiny little snapshot that we saw the first the first unit. Yeah, I would say I was both troubled and encouraged by what I saw from them.
The troubling part of the defense was what Ryan Pace would not say before the game about the Roquan Smith situation. You knew he wouldn't say anything, and it wasn't that long ago he was saying, oh, it's just, we're just going through the process. It's fine. This is completely normal. The only player that hasn't signed. I was more encouraged because I've talked about Leonard Floyd's importance to this team and especially this defense, and he went out there and he forced a play. And, yeah, the tackling was bothersome. But overall, Vic Fangio, of course, wasn't showing anything, playing very, very vanilla defense. So I would lean more encouraged because I saw something out of players that you're going to need something from during the season.
I will lean encouraged as well. It was nice to see Leonard Floyd running around out there again effectively and efficiently. Dustin's laughing. Turn your mic on if you want to laugh. Turn your mic on. It was, God, this guy, what a troll, I'll tell you.
I tell you what, he hates Leonard Floyd.
I don't get it.
He hates him.
One snap. Because one snap.
You know what? He made a play.
I'd rather him do something positive in that one snap.
That's a lot more than a lot of guys in that game, pal.
You're right about that. You're right about that. That you're right about, and that's a problem.
And if your corners are going to be as trash as these corners probably will, you need outside pressure. And if Leonard Floyd is going to provide that pressure to take the pressure off of, if Marcus Cooper, are we calling him Marcus Cooper Senior again this year?
God.
Wait, is it Senior or is it just Marcus Cooper now?
Really bad.
You won't have to worry about that for much longer.
Okay,
I don't think.
Good.
That was not good.
I hope he gets cut. Anybody's going to look bad against AJ Green, but he looked absolutely brutal last night. Yeah. And Prince Mukamara is not going to look any better. But if they're going to be that bad,
I think he will. Shade.
You think so?
I think there's a big difference between Prince and Marcus Cooper.
I'm from Missouri.
If they're still going to be mediocre, then you need Leonard Floyd to provide excellent pressure from the ends, and that's what we saw last night, even if it was just one play.
Fine. Okay, for all you guys and gals out there that want to get a 94 jersey, if that's even his number, I don't even know, so far off my radar, then
if he makes one play a game, buddy, if he gets a sack a game, if he can force a turnover a game, that's a Pro Bowl season, just so you know.
Yeah,
one big play,
I'm still trying to get 12 and a half games dressed. Let's baby step it there.
Because it was him, you won't acknowledge he made a play.
I did acknowledge that he made a play. I said he made one play.
That's what it is.
The rest of them, manhandled. I watched all his snaps, and then I watched him again. Manhandled. Go back and look at it. I know you will. Listen, the other thing, they still, you know what the Bears can't do? And I know Vic is a good defensive. Do they not teach them how to defend a tight end? You want to know how you beat the tight ends? Pro Bowl seasons can be had against the Bears. I mean, this is high school stuff. Put your hand on. I mean, the free releases will drive you.
Unbelievable.
Just put your hand on a guy.
It was unbelievable. Who was the guy that let the receiver just come off the tight end came off the line? You're standing in front of him. It looked like he tried to run around him.
I mean,
it was
John Timu. There was
no,
enough of that.
It was the kid out of Utah or whatever.
That's who it was.
You know, he looks. He's another guy, right?
Kylie Fitz.
You want to talk about an underwear Olympics guy, right? Or he's standing there in his football uniform.
He's got some pipes.
He looks great. Yeah. Stinks out loud as far as a player.
Well, he just needed to. I mean, you can't give a guy
put a hand on somebody. It's a contact sport.
He's an idiot. Next question.
What Bears player or players stood out to you most?
It's not a very long list, but definitely Ryan Nall. I thought that getting three first downs was good for a young running back, and that 69-yard run around the corner, I mean, I'd like to see him finish it, but that was pretty good down the right sideline. You know, again, I thought the secondary was awful. I thought Eric Kush was embarrassed by Geno Atkins. I thought, you know, Atkins also forced Cody Whitehair into a hold to keep him from chasing down Mitchell. And, you know, I guess Adam Shaheen with the three catches, a couple of those in traffic, it was good to just see him do something, right? And I don't know that I saw, David, exactly why they drafted him, but I think I did see him make a few plays, make a few catches, and what was it, three catches for 53 yards, something like that. You know, he caught the ball in traffic, and he caught the ball, I think he double caught one, but that's okay. I liked what I saw from him. I thought he had a good game. And again, Fuller made a play, and it helped to have Leonard Floyd get to the quarterback and interrupt. He was in the backfield a couple of times, Leonard Floyd. He didn't play a lot, but
he was active.
He was there.
I think on the bright side, you like what you saw from Shaheen, because he's a guy that you were waiting to see him take a little bit of a mini step, and he did. They're going to need him, too, because after the game, it's almost remarkable that Matt Nagy acknowledged that Deion Sims has a concussion. And he said that in the post game, and you see what that could mean for, you don't know how bad it is, but to see him acknowledge that and offer that up was interesting. But, yeah, Shaheen was good. I thought Kyle Fuller, you know, for his first time on the field, yeah, all he had to do was catch it, but that's progress for your DB and your return pick six. That's,
and you're paying a lot of money to him. You matched that contract.
He just had a big contract. He's getting paid. He's producing, playing with a lot of confidence. I thought James Daniels, the rookie, he showed something at center.
He played a lot.
He, I think, is getting a good look there. He could factor into that offensive line sooner rather than later. Kwiatkowski, I like the way he plays. I know he doesn't have all the skill set you often want to, but he's a guy you can rely upon. Maybe he's just a special teamer. I don't know. But until Roquan Smith gets there, he can fill in. Negatively, you know, Marcus Cooper, we just talked about that.
God.
You have to be better than that. He stood out for the wrong reasons. And Chase Daniel, I'd like to see him do something at camp that gains more attention than just kind of a prank on Bears.com getting autographs from teammates.
Because this is highlight.
I'm still waiting to see him do something. But, yeah, it's a mixed bag.
The very high draft picks over the last few years really stood out. On the positive side, of course, Leonard Floyd and Adam Shaheen. You're looking for playmakers on this team. And then Kevin White just – and even though the penalty gave them the only first down for the first-team offense, we still saw that drop there. And Marcus Cooper, he was targeted six times, and the Bengals had five catches.
Wow. And it wasn't just that. The cut – now, again, that's a real good player he's going against. But that cut inside where he just was absolutely a matador, oh, my goodness. He wouldn't have – not only could he not tackle him, I don't think he could touch him. That was sick.
It was nice to see things from guys that you expect to see things from. It was nice to see Akeem Hicks pushing guys around out there. Adam Shaheen creating a little bit of separation, at least getting his hands on the ball and yards after the catch. It's a stupid preseason football game. I'm so tired of trying to find who I like when I'm seeing four snaps.
And I don't. But here's the problem: I don't know if Cincinnati's backup offensive line is just garbage. But none of those tackles seem to be able to stop any of the Bears' speed guys.
I think all
the Bears'
backup offensive
speed guys
are
running around.
All of them are garbage. All the backup offensive lines are garbage.
Period.
End of story.
Anyone who's
new
a
paragraph.
Okay.
I'm not really. encouraged or discouraged by anybody, and nobody's really standing out except for the bad, and that was Marcus Cooper Senior, whatever the hell you want to call him.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. I mean, Marcus Cooper, for all the wrong reasons last night, I wasn't impressed with the looks good in his pads kid from Utah. The other guy that I was impressed with was DeAndre Houston Carson, since we're doing the hyphenated and seniors and juniors kind of thing. He had some nice plays. He broke up a pass. Special teams, he flashed a little bit. He gets down the field fast. But again, you're talking about a fringe guy. He if things go right, he's going to make this team. Maybe he's a special teamer. That's the trouble. Like, those are the guys that you notice. Mully, you were right about Shaheen, right? When they threw him the ball, he made the catches. But you know what he's still not good at doing? Blocking. For a guy as big as he is, he doesn't know how to get his rear end down and actually block somebody and get in the way a little bit.
That is a project player. I mean, that's a guy that you took from a low level of football.
You shouldn't
and
have
he's
projects
a former
at that.
Basketball player.
Right? I know you agree
with
me.
But if he makes enough plays in the passing game, you're really not going to worry about how much he blocks.
You're right about
well,
that, too.
If Deion Sims got a concussion, you're going to have a backup lineman then. You need someone to block.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
Bryce Harper and the Nationals come to town today. You want the Cubs to pursue him in free agency?
Well, I wrote about this today in the Chicago Tribune. I love the fantasy of Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant, boyhood buddies from Vegas, being in the same lineup. I love the idea of Bryce Harper in Chicago with his flair for the dramatic. I love everything about the possibility. The fantasy doesn't equate to reality, though. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the Cubs. I think they have too many guys to pay. I think their core is too young, too talented, too good. that you look at what's coming up. They're going to want to lock up and pay Chris Bryant, obviously. Javi Baez could be an MVP of 2018. You've got other guys, Schwarber, Kyle Hendricks. You've got a long list of young players who are going to demand and deserve big contracts. I just don't know how you fit a $300 million investment into that equation. So as much as it sounds like a great idea, there's also the competitive balance tax you cannot ignore. They've got Darvish. They've got Hayward. They've got Lester. They've got a lot of money. And I know they're making money. They're printing money in Wrigleyville. But I just don't know responsibly if it makes a lot of sense for the Cubs to go out and invest over $300 million in an outfielder.
Enjoyed reading your column, David. I thought it was very timely. I think that we've talked about this fantasy for a real long time. And the reality is sort of kicking in, isn't it? I mean, you've always had this issue if you were going to sign this guy. Well, Jason Hayward has got a big contract, and he's the right fielder. And where are you going to put Bryce Harper, and how are you going to get rid of Jay Hay? And, well, you can eat that money, and you don't have to worry about it. And now,
you know how
guess
much money
what?
That is?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous
$118 million.
It's insane. Find a reason to love a guy who's making that kind of cabbage. Ditto with your guy, Yu Darvish. Find a reason to get on board the bandwagon, because it's very hard to get rid of a deal like that.
$101 million.
So I think, I think Jay Hay has been good enough, and we've seen enough of a revival that you really don't need an upgrade there, right? I mean, we argued all along about, what a tremendous outfielder he is, and but the no bat thing, the fact that he couldn't get the ball out of the infield was still kind of confounding. And now that you're kind of seeing the guy that they gave the contract to, and it took a while to get there, but you feel better about him. Listen, Bryce Harper's a great player, but he's not having a phenomenal year, and the idea of giving somebody $400 million or whatever it's going to cost to get him, that's always been fantasy baseball. That's always been just pie-in-the-sky stuff to think that's going to happen. I know that he wants to build up his market. I know that he wants teams interested. I know he's very good friends with Chris Bryant, and unfortunately...
Did you know his dog's name Wrigley?
I did not know his dog was named Wrigley. So if he's giving a hometown discount, and it's, $150 million, then maybe you could have a conversation about it, right? But I don't know that he's not going to want to get every dollar off the table. And as great as it would be, Kevin loves his hair. I don't think that that's realistic. And in fact, I think that there is another guy that Manny Machado would probably be a better fit and maybe a better guy to bring in here than Bryce Harper, believe it or not.
Yep. I agree 100%. You go up to any team in baseball, hey, do you want Bryce Harper? Yes, of course. The answer is yes every single time. But the problem is it precludes you from making some other moves. You just spent a lot of money in the offseason on two starting pitchers, and what do you have right now? Two question marks with those starting pitchers. You're still going to need to go out and fix the rotation, whether you do that with cash or you do that with somebody on the major league roster. That should be number one. It shouldn't be chasing Bryce Harper and whatever contract he ends up landing. They have, for next year, three guys in the rotation right now that you know will be there. Hamels walks, and then the two guys you signed, you don't know what you have moving forward. So that should be their priority. That's what they need to attack.
The last time a member of the Harper family did a athletic activity with a member of the Bryant family, Jess Bryant tore her ACL playing laser tag on the same team as Bryce Harper's wife. If I'm a Cub fan, I don't want Chris Bryant anywhere near Bryce Harper on the same team for fear of athletic injury.
How do you know that?
I'm on social media, David.
Okay.
I'm big on Instagram, okay? Yeah. I follow both of them. That is not something I would want for the money and for the chance of an ACL tear. So, no, I do not want Bryce Harper.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this is interesting.
Sure.
You know the people involved here, right? So you got Bryce Harper and you got Chris Bryant. Bryce Harper seems more the alpha male than Chris Bryant.
100%.
So would, and I'm not even the wives or anything like that, but would that somehow affect Chris Bryant? Would it diminish Chris Bryant to sign Bryce Harper? Is that a stupid?
Or maybe it'd be make him more comfortable. because he doesn't have to be that guy.
Okay, but here's my thing. And I know people say, you know, Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper are very good friends. First of all, no, they're not. They played on one Little League team together. They're not as close as everybody thinks they are. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't think I am. If they are friends, do you want your buddy in your same clubhouse and traveling with you every single day? Or do you want maybe just to him for him to be in the same city and
Vegas
maybe on a, in a different clubhouse about 9 miles south of you so you can still hang out when you're in town and you don't have to see each other every single day?
So Bryce Harper
to the White Sox. Confirmed. You're welcome.
Nice. Very nice.
I thought it was Machado.
What do you do with Avi Garcia?
I don't know. Yomer Sanchez, don't know where he's going to play. Lori Garcia,
really?
No clue.
Really?
Adam Mangold's patrolling center
field. I'd really like Bryce. I'd really
not
like
really.
Him, but yeah. Avi.
Not at the cost of Avi.
I mean, it's a great fantasy, but you want to talk about getting lineup Ista on Joe Maddon if that actually happened, right? I mean, how in the world is the DH coming as well? Now, if the DH is coming, that changes the conversation. If you're betting that within the next 2 years the DH is coming, then I think you push all your chips into the middle of the table and you'll get that guy, right? Because all of a sudden now you can go play him in left and Schwarber can DH. But I'm saying. Who's not getting paid?
Tell me that. Well, who's not getting paid?
David, that was the best part of your column, right? Is that, number one, it was timely, and that's always important. And number two, you pointed out the reasons why, and that's because all these guys are on all these guys are on the come. And are these guys going to hang around to be part of the core and not try to get every last dollar that's available to them? But my other question is, outside of the Nationals, in all seriousness, who's paying him this $400 million?
Oh, I think maybe the Yankees.
No, I don't think Giants. So. I don't think the Yankees
Dodgers?
Are.
Dodgers?
I don't think the Dodgers are.
Giants. Go back to
Phillies?
The Giants.
Giants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody's going
to
pay him.
You know what? Then to me, fine. Let him go to the Giants. I don't see – this is fantasy land right now. I don't see this actually happening, this $400 million. Maybe Joe's right with the Giants. They've got it. But I don't see the Dodgers. It's not going to be the Red Sox. The Yankees got a ton of money invested in Stanton, right? I mean, can they bring that on? I guess. But
we didn't think the Diamondbacks would sign Greinke.
Can he pitch? Can Shohei Ohtani and can he pitch?
Can he Matt Davidson it? I mean, maybe part of the plan these guys is to move one of these position players or two of them for starting pitching, and then you open up a spot or two.
There you go.
That's a clown question, bro.
Will Joe Maddon and A-Rod bury the hatchet on Sunday, or should they?
Well, I would like to see that happen. I think it'd be nice if Joe and A-Rod shared a moment and all was forgiven and they got it out in the open and A-Rod explained why he did what he did and Joe could tell him it was a violation of our trust and then they could hug it out. I think those are two guys that need to get along a little bit. I don't like that... That Joe is mad at A-Rod. I don't like Joe being mad at anyone. And I don't think Joe is the kind of guy that will hold a grudge. And I think that they'll find a way through it. And I think that, A-Rod is maybe he shouldn't have done it the way he did it. What Joe complained about was that it wasn't extemporaneous, that he felt he was sitting on it and waiting for a moment. And then he kind of... sucker punched him. But Theo said they exchanged emails and they exchanged texts and they didn't agree upon it. But like David said the next morning, Theo said that he thought it was good for you, Darvish, that it helped you. And you seems motivated now and wants to get back. So maybe Joe should thank A-Rod for lighting a fire.
I doubt
under his pitcher.
I like it. Don't apologize. Don't make up. I like a little friction. I like edgy Joe. I like it when he acknowledges that everything has just been big hug fest all the time. That there's reality, there's friction, there are things that he's not going to like about things that are said or written or whatever. That's transparent. That's real. There's no way that they're going to be glad to see A-Rod after what they said. about him after his Darvish comments, after what he said about Darvish.
Will he even
show
up?
They touched the nerve.
Well, they have a meeting with the manager before.
He's got a job to do. So, if he doesn't show up, then that's bad on him because he's got a job to do.
Will he be in the locker room? Will he be around? Will someone say something to him?
You know, Molly, you've been in this situation. You've done this. What's the best way to deal with something once you criticize somebody doing your job?
You've got to show up.
You show up.
Yeah.
Give them the opportunity to come to you, to yell at you, to look you in the eye and say, you know what? You were wrong. I'm right. Get out of here. I don't like you. Whatever they want to do, they can poke you in the chest if they want.
I just don't think I don't think Joe has that in him. I really don't. I think he's got an edge. I think he can be.
Then that's telling too.
Joe will get through it. And I think they'll end up, A-Rod will tell you a story on the broadcast about how he and Joe, you know, they came to it. And
they bonded over a painting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and a glass of wine.
I have a hard time thinking that Joe will keep this going. And listen, vendetta is an Italian word. I'm all for it as an Irishman.
Well, if ESPN doesn't address it Sunday night, then they're doing a disservice to everybody watching.
Oh, they will. They will. Okay. They move this game to Sunday night right after the whole thing with A-Rod and Yu Darvish. As far as Joe goes, it's all love, man. It's cool. We're cool. We met. We know how Joe's going to handle it. He's going to play it cool.
Right.
And if he says, hey, just between us, I could see them behind the scenes having a conversation saying, you understand why I had to go hard, right? They need to respect me. We're trying to play out this season, so I had to rip you. I had to tear you to the media multiple times. And A-Rod would probably understand that because he was a player. But, I think they're definitely going to bury the hatchet.
I don't really care if they bury the hatchet. They're two grown men who have their own opinions. If A-Rod wants to come out and say, this is what's happening in the clubhouse, and you're not going to hear it from the guys inside, it's my job, it's my duty to report what I see, and if you burn a bridge, then fine. It takes twice as long to rebuild that bridge that you burned. If A-Rod wants to live with that, fine. I don't really care. I don't care if they bury it. I don't care if they do. Go have your 2 out of 3 meatloaf and your glass of wine together and talk about a stupid painting. It's just play the baseball game. I don't care if Joe Madden and A-Rod don't like each other. Get off my lawn.
Peoria Matt checks and he said, would A-Rod get a word in edge?
Well, here's what I really hope isn't true. I hope what doesn't happen is what Joe just put out there, because I'd really be disappointed that Madden would be that disingenuous. Okay, I like what A-Rod said, and I respect what Madden did in sticking up for his team, but I hope it wasn't a front to make sure that the guys in the clubhouse know, hey, I got your back, guys. Don't worry about it. Let's go paint a Mona Lisa together. And that's what I hope this isn't. So I'm with Shane. I don't care if they like each other. I think it makes it more interesting. I think that it makes it a little. I said to David this morning, I said, do you think, and A-Rod's done some pretty cool, Molly, I know you and I really liked him, since some pretty cool off to the side interviews, instructional type things, talking about how they get ready. Like, is that going to happen? Will it be with a Cub? Or now does it have to be with a National? Like, are the Cubs going to not cooperate?
I don't think they would not cooperate. They shouldn't. Well, that's unprofessional if they don't.
Who's making salsa? That's the question.
They should no, but see, that's a hypocritical move. If you're ticked off at him, if you think he stepped outside of the lines, if you think he broke the code, then you don't cooperate with
him. Well, how hypocritical would that be?
Look, why would that be hypocritical?
They're celebrating Rick Sutcliffe there today. He's throwing out the first pitch, isn't he? Or singing the
and he said roughly the same thing?
He said the same thing that A-Rod said about Darvish. He went a step further.
You know,
he walked it back, but he still said the same thing. So if they are unprofessional to A-Rod after hugging Rick Sutcliffe on Friday, then shame on them.
Well, and the other element here is, if I'm A-Rod and the guy wants to talk or wants to give, you know, chide me, whatever, the bottom line is, hey, Joe, I was told that. I'm telling the truth. That's not made up of whole cloth. You have to know that. And at some level, you understand that. Oh, yeah, but okay, man, but you're not allowed to come in here. And
bring a camera, too.
But
have the conversation recorded.
I would love to watch it. I'd love to watch that. I'd love to see the two of them interact.
That.
I would care about that. Fair enough, David. That's a good point.
So to answer the question is premature. If you ask me 3 or 4 months from now, I'd be in a much better position to answer that question.
Why can't we all just get along? Why can't A-Rod and Joe, you know, two massive baseball entities.
Maybe they already have
egos.
Buried the hatchet.
I don't know.
We don't know.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the I always like getting the national perspective, and the Cubs, this series is twice going to be on national television. We've got the FS1 game on Saturday, and of course, we've got A-Rod's Sunday night duties. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We are going to bring in Rich Campbell, so we won't be discussing all the topics that we have here. We will be spreading them out throughout the program, but Rich is going to be in the airport getting ready to fly home. We will bring him in and we'll ask him, what was the locker room like? What did the players have to say for themselves? Was there any news breaking out of this thing? Is there ever going to be any news with the middle linebacker that they drafted so high in the draft? Will we see this kid play eventually? And at what point does it get to maybe we won't see him? I mean, I you know, they're going to break camp on Sunday. They've got practices next week then with Denver.
They leave Tuesday for Denver.
So when are we going to see this kid, or when is this kid going to report? And can you throw him into a live scrimmage if he hasn't been around? And certainly that would indicate he's not playing in the third of five preseason games. So what's going on? Well, and how much, you know, maybe the kid's best move is to just let that team play and miss tackles without him. We'll talk to Rich Campbell next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.